Good morning. It's 7:10. Local news, timeless hits, WRGN, the first Wednesday of the month. Today's Wednesday, right? Yeah. First Wednesday of the month, we do the Racine Traffic Safety Commission poster of the month, and today it's on motorcycle safety. So we got somebody who actually has been riding a motorcycle most of his life. He's a police officer for Mount Pleasant, and it's Zachary Giovannani. Did I get that right? Move closer. I want to hear everything you have to say. Giovannani, right?
That's close. My name is Zachary Giovannoni.
Giovannoni. What did I say? Giovannani?
Yep.
Giovannoni. Okay. By the end, I hope to get that right. I'll pronounce it a couple of times. Now, you've been riding a motorcycle all your life, right?
Yeah. I think the first time I was on two wheels with a motor was around 12 years old.
12 years old. What, do you have like a little mini bike or something?
Yeah. Honda Atex. It was a two-speed automatic, but no clutch.
Well, I told you before we went on the air here that growing up, all the kids had they were blue, tiny little mini bikes. I mean, very tiny to the ground, and they didn't go very fast. It was like a lawnmower engine on there at best. And all the kids had them. My mother wouldn't let me have one. She would let me ride on one, yet have one. So I had to ride my bicycle. She said, they're too dangerous. How dangerous are motorcycles?
Them by themselves on a well-kept road and motorists that actually pay attention, they're not that dangerous. It's like riding a bicycle, just faster.
Now, you're a Mount Pleasant police officer. I don't want to say Pleasant Prairie. I'm going to get confused here. You got your whole family's been in there, right? Your dad was a police officer as well, right?
Yes, in Lake Geneva, in town of Geneva before that.
Yeah. So what made you go into police work? Is it because your dad was there?
Probably. Yeah, and I like helping people, as silly as, you know, as cliche as that sounds, but I like getting out in public and people have bad days and working through it, helping the public. You know, obviously we deal with bad guys or people that are on the other side of the law, but
I can never, ever, ever be in that job. I'd last 9 seconds in that job because the first person I stopped, I'd tase him immediately just to calm him down. See, I don't want to deal with it. I've never had a job where I had to deal with people. And especially because when you pull them over, you're pulling them over for a reason, and you don't know what's in that car.
That's true.
You don't know what they have, what their intentions are, and that would scare me.
Yeah.
And they don't listen a lot of times either.
It's like 50-50. You get people sometimes that are very argumentative or what we call no people right off the bat, and then you get people that they're actually very pleasant. I work third shift for just over 6 years, and then coming to the daytime, it is like a culture shock. The first month that I was during the daylight, it was like, oh, these people are nice. They're waving at me. And
the mean ones come out as dark.
Yeah.
My mother once said, nothing happens nice after midnight.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing good after midnight.
I grew up with that, too. Nothing good happens after 11.
Fridays and Saturdays worse than any other day of the week?
Yeah.
Friday and Saturday nights, yeah, I would imagine
people,
so.
People are off of work, and the party mindset and relaxed mode kind of open up.
Now, this is the monthly poster. Now, you can actually see what we're talking about if you go to RacineCounty.com/staying safe. You'll see all the posters on there. And go down to motorcycle safety. That's what we're talking about today. We're going to go through it step by step here with the officer. And other motorists may not immediately see you. It's tough with a motorcycle because they're thin and they're not like big cars in back of you. So a quick glance, you may not see them.
That's true.
And if you don't see them, you can hit them. Now, what's with this is not on the list here, but what's with the law? I don't know if it's in Wisconsin, but certain laws where motorcycles can go between the cars. What is that?
So it's called lane splitting.
Yeah, lane splitting.
The thought of it is one, it's less wear and tear on the road. Like some states have actually brought that up in argument to switch over to it, which I think is silly. But they also show that it's a little bit safer for the bike because, one, they're in the mirror section for where you can see. And then, if you're driving a car, you can see the headlight behind you or whatever. They're more visible. And there's always an escape route for the bike if there is an accident in front of them.
I always thought that with the side view mirrors is a better chance of whacking one of those things.
It can happen, depending on, you know, where your lane of travel is with the car. You see people where they're hovering the line.
The truck ones come out very far.
True.
And if you get whacked with one of those, You go down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You ever have a crash?
On the bike?
Yeah.
Yeah. There, the anybody that rides a motorcycle has either heard this or they've said it themselves, but there's two types of riders. There's ones that have been down and there's ones that are going down.
Okay. Okay, ride in the third, left third of your lane when possible. I'm trying to picture what that even means. Ride in the third, left third.
So if you think of a single lane for a car, you're going to have your four wheels or wheels on both sides of the vehicle, and then you have the center where you're riding the hump. Those are three lanes for a bike. You go on your left where your left tires are hitting if you were in a car, in the middle of the lane, and then to the right of the lane where the right side of the car tires would be hit. And that's how there's a three lane in there.
That's enough to remember already.
Yeah.
When riding next to another vehicle on multi-lane roads, stay out of their blind spots as traffic allows. Blind spot, if you're a driver in a car on that right side, there's a blind spot. And it's right, I think it's right where your passenger rear window meets the back window of your car. You get that blind spot. You can't see what's coming.
So if you think of like an SUV, so your passenger side rear door to the quarter panel, if you're within there, the driver's not going to see you unless they do like an actual look in the right mirror.
Flash your brake lights when slowing down. Now, is that for the motorcycle or is it the car? Flash your brake lights when slowing down.
Probably more so for the motorcycle, because bikes can stop faster than cars just basically on weight. An average car is anywhere between 3,800 to 5,000 pounds, where a motorcycle, whether it's a street bike, a super bike, or a cruiser, you're all under 900 pounds with a rider.
Ugh, this is a lot to remember. Also remember to cancel turn signals after the turn. You know, on cars, it's automatic.
Correct.
It's not automatic on motorcycles.
Not all of them, no. So if you think of like a pendulum system, usually when there's an articulation, there's a sensor in there that'll kick the indicator off. On the newer bikes, it's timed too. So like where if you left it on for forever, I don't know, long. I think it's longer than a minute, it'll shut it off.
Avoid equipment modifications that may make it more difficult for other drivers to understand your intentions. What are they talking about there?
So there's a thing called an integrated taillight. So if you think of like a crotch rocket style motorcycle, it's easier to explain it on that. They'll have small directionals from the factory that are on the back of the bike, but they're very bright. They stick out. They look like little teardrops. And a lot of kids, all the way up into adulthood, they'll get an integrated taillight where the directional is actually part of the single taillight in the back. The problem is during the daytime, it's very hard to see the indicator for both sides. And then also a lot of people will smoke what it's called smoking out their headlights or turn signals or whatever. They'll do a black tint over it because it looks cool. But the problem is it takes the brightness away from the light for other motorists to see.
Hmm. Do you, you ride a motorcycle for the police department?
I do not. No.
Oh, why not?
Because I have a canine.
Oh, that's right. Okay. You don't have a dog in the car now, do you?
Yeah, I do.
Oh, he's sitting there. You could have brought him in.
Oh, well. We could do that maybe at break or something.
Yeah, bringing the puppy in. We have our general manager brings his dog in here, but he's very protective of Chris. And you go near him, and he gives you the side eyes, put your hand out. For the first time in years, I got two licks. So I'm okay now.
Nice.
But they see a threat, and, you know, they protect.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Dressing for safety. Wear a DOT-approved helmet and eye protection. I remember growing up, nobody wore helmets.
No.
I mean, you watch these motorcycle movies, the Hell's Angels movies of the 1960s. No one's wearing helmets. And I remember my neighbor had a motorcycle, never wore a helmet. Now you see somebody without a helmet and you say, what a fool.
Well, there's a lot of states that have converted over to helmet laws where it's mandatory to wear it, just like seatbelts. You know, the state and government has stepped in where a lot of people aren't taking the initiative to be responsible and be safe for their own being, where they've made it mandatory because of the accidents that have caused death or great bodily harm to themselves or other people because of carelessness or whatnot.
Mm. Yeah, you'd think you'd wear a helmet because I see these crashes on YouTube where they, and they're wearing helmets, they get right up. Mm-hmm. A lot of these people, they get up and they just, you know, whoa, a little dizzy, but they get up. Choose protective gear that will limit and reduce injuries in the event of a crash. I see a lot of motorcycle people, especially during the summer, just in short sleeves and everything. And you, if you fall, you're going to get ripped apart on that street.
Oh, yeah.
So what do you recommend?
So a lot of people wear leather jackets and then a helmet and then gloves, whether it's mechanical gloves or leather gloves, which is good. And then you'll see people that will ride with blue jeans on. And rule of thumb is at 25 miles an hour, denim jeans are somewhat safe to not get dragged through to skin. But anything over 25 miles an hour, it'll burn right through. It's like an eraser on paper. You know, you write down a piece, you know, scribble something down with your pencil. The more pressure that you have, the quicker the pencil goes away. Well, it's the same thing with the material that you're wearing. So some people, like guys, if you look at track days, people that race motorcycles, they'll wear either full leathers, leather pants with obviously a jacket. They zip up into the jacket on the backside, or they'll wear a full leather suit. Some of those full leather suits are a double-walled cowhide. So it's a real thick leather. Think of like a welding glove. It's almost similar to that, but then there's a coating on top of it that helps you slide versus gripping, and then that's when the tumbling starts. Mm. And then there's pad, like the newer leathers compared to like 80s or older, they were just leather jackets. The new ones now, they have impact pads in them that cross your back, elbows, shoulders, chest pads, and it's all built in with the jacket. And it's similar to like if you were to play with tapioca pudding. You can put your finger in it. It's pliable. As soon as you smack it, it turns into like a hard surface. That's basically what this stuff does. As soon as it hits the ground, it takes the shock out of it. So it kind of helps the person when they go down.
I'm so glad my mother didn't let me drive a motorcycle. When I was a kid, we used to have like soapbox derby cars, but ours were pretty rudimentary. They were just basically a plank of wood with a set of wheels on the front and the back. And there was a place to put to catch a stick so you can push with the stick. So we're having a race. I must have been about 7 or 8 years old. They put all the lightweight kids, small kids, in these things. We were going down a hill. At the end of the hill, I had to make a quick right or I'd go into someone's house. And my brother was pushing, and I was going, and we were going real fast, and I turned it, and the thing flipped with me in it, and I was wearing shorts. And I felt the road just ripping the side of my leg off. I felt it. It just, and I couldn't stop because the thing's going down a hill.
Right.
And I get to the bottom and there's blood everywhere. It's just dripping down my leg. I'm running down the street crying my eyes out. My brother trying to get ahead of me to warn my mother what she was going to see. And he's running. He doesn't care how he wants to get there first to tell the story.
Right.
To this day, on the side of my leg right over here is all ripped up, scarred. From that day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. My mother said, don't you ever do that to your brother again. He tried. I asked him years later. I said, I'm trying to get the story first before you get home. And she sees what she's going to see. And this is the first Wednesday of the month. So we're talking about the Racine Traffic Safety Commission poster of the month. Motorcycle safety. I actually have two guests in the studio now. Mount Pleasant Police Officer Zachary Giovannoni and Aspen Giovannoni.
Yeah.
he's your canine. Tell us a little bit about Aspen. I can't see him, so he's probably laying down there.
He is. First time all day.
He's calmed down now.
So he's a Belgian Malinois. He was born in Slovakia. Came from Slovakia, went over to the Netherlands, and then Shallow Creek Kennels out of Pennsylvania, Sharpsville, Pennsylvania, hand-selected him along with, I think it was 45 other dogs. And then myself and Sergeant Geezy went down in February 2 years ago and picked him out of 7, and then here we are.
Now, who trains him to be a canine police dog?
So the Europe dogs, so he would be considered a Europe dog, they kind of get born into the world and they start at a very, like, pretty much right after their eyes open up. And then when they go to a kennel, that's when they start implementing odors, whether it's explosive odors or any narcotics. He's a narcotic. He's a dual purpose dog. He's a narcotic and he can locate and apprehend people.
But they love to working dogs, and there's a whole breed of working dogs. I see them during the dog shows working. They love doing what they're doing.
Oh, yeah.
It's not work to them. This is what they love doing. Some dogs like to lay around on the couch all day. He likes to work.
Yeah. Malinois, the best thing to say about Malinois, they are great at everything except for nothing. They cannot do nothing.
Like, yeah, right. They got to be busy all the time.
Or they'll find something to do.
Like rip something apart.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
So now he is your dog. He comes home with you and lives in your house. Do you have to keep a constant training so you don't ruin him?
Yeah, so there's a difference between he is not a pet, although he has a nice work switch and then what I call an off-work switch. But he still dances on that switch for work switch. So I got to pay attention to him. He doesn't have free roam in the house unless the kids are asleep and, you know, because we don't want people, the kids feeding them crackers or anything like that. And then
spoiling them.
Right. And then we still play and stuff like that. But every day we do some form of obedience training. But then we do 16 hours a month of patrol training. So doing drug searches, tracking, article searches, building searches, etc. But that's just to keep him true and honest and all that.
Yeah. Sharp. Okay, so we're talking about motorcycle safety today. You got to share the road with motorcycles if you're not a motorcycle rider. And you've been doing motorcycles since you're 12 years old.
Yes, sir.
So you've been doing it a long time. You know the rules of the road. You've had a few spills.
Yeah. Actually, I've had a couple in high school, and then I've had two so far as an adult. So, and I'm 36 now.
Now, listen, we're talking about, now, by the way, if you want to see the poster, you can go to RacineCounty.com/staying safe. RacineCounty.com/staying safe. Go down to motorcycle safety. So about the type of clothing you have to wear, bright clothing. But I see most people wear black leather jackets and black pants.
So that's the most common color that you'll go out there. If you see, like, I know Icon makes it. Revzilla sells a bunch of different companies clothing where it is black leather, but they'll have like neon green or they'll have different color writing or something that's completely obnoxious. And obviously it's obnoxious, but it's also designed to be obnoxious to get other people's attention.
Now, when you're riding a motorcycle, you have to do a little more searching than car people do. Search for factors that might lead to risky situations. What are they talking about there?
So, with that being said, anything on the road, people, cars, dogs, cats, animals, debris, we're getting into, obviously, motorcycle season. What else comes in with motorcycle season? Lawn care season. So when people are mowing and they spray all their grass clippings or whatever that's on the street, that's like going across that in a curve or wet leaves or anything like that. It's literally like driving on ice.
I never even occurred to me.
Yeah. That was one of the times I've been down was on that. I came into a blind 90 hairpin curve. It was actually up in Wildcat Mountain area. So Portage Baraboo, awesome area. If anybody ever wants a ride, take Highway 33 all the way through. It's beautiful country, but it's a lot of slow turns and they're 90 hairpins and you're cutting the side of a mountain. But you'd get washout from debris, so dirt, gravel, grass clippings, all that stuff, and it turns the corners if they don't prep it into a kind of a sketchy situation if you're not prepared for it.
You have bugs in your teeth when you're...
If you don't wear a helmet. Yeah. You're smiling a lot, yeah.
Okay, let's talk about execute an action to maintain a margin of safety. Do you have to stay further back from cars than most cars from each other?
Well, you got to think about reaction time. So rule of thumb is every 25 to 40 miles an hour in a car, you're supposed to have a car length between you and the next guy, right? And that's for reaction time for braking or swerving or whatever. Motorcycles, anybody that rides a lot, they either subconsciously or are very hyper-vigilant or aware that they're doing, they're paying attention to the driver's eyes in the mirrors because what do we do when we're looking at something? We start to move. So as soon as we go to look, guy that's on the bike is going to be more aware because they have to be aware of what's going on.
Now, it's terrible to drive drunk in a car. You might make it home safely if you're drunk in a car. If you're lucky, you'll make it home, and that's luck. On a motorcycle, I can't imagine drinking and driving a motorcycle. You lose all your balance.
Yeah, think of anything that you ingest as substance, even prescribed medication. They say that you can't operate heavy machinery or anything like that. It's all done on reaction. It slows down your reaction time. It slows down your ability to make decisions, or obviously delays it to some degree. But then also, you're right. It's all about balance on a bike. So if you can't walk straight, how are you going to stay balance a 400-pound to 900-pound machine without any balance? Your equilibrium is completely gone.
There were 233 alcohol-related motorcycle crashes in Wisconsin in 2012. Of those, 191 or 82% occurred between 4 p.m. and 4 a.m. Remember, nothing good happens after midnight.
That's true.
And, I don't drink, so I wouldn't know what it's like to drink and drive, but it gets really bad out there sometimes on Friday and Saturday nights.
I actually got some stats for you for 2024.
Okay, go ahead.
We had 64 motorcycle crashes in Racine County last year. 5 of them resulted in deaths. 59 of them had injury.
And, you leave the house saying, I'll be back in a little while, and sometimes you never come back home.
Mm-hmm. And I know 3 of those deaths, all other than the operator of the motorcycle being there, they were hit by other vehicles. And there was either drugs or alcohol on board with them.
I see that little pad you took out.
Mm-hmm.
Every time I watch these live PD shows, they always pull out a little tiny pad. Like the entire world they own is written on that pad.
Oh, yeah.
They keep flipping little papers. Everything in their world is in there.
Yeah, it would. Well, we're human, and we got a million things going through our mind, especially on the job, so we can't remember everything.
I just take a little folded piece of paper and unfold it and write on it.
Yeah.
Let's talk about in your car or truck, when you're behind the wheel, you got to share the road with motorcycles, and here's the biggest thing. When you make a left turn, you got to see if they're coming up on your left, because if they pass you, they'll do it on the left.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be careful and watch it. When you had your crashes, what was the reason for them?
Pre being an adult, so in high school, young and dumb, not thinking, it was all throttle and time and place. I was messing around with a buddy of mine. We're in a field, and I was on an 85 Honda Enduro. And I thought it would be a good idea to race my buddy on a dirt bike, and we caught some wet grass, and I washed it out at probably about 65 and did the tumble. And then after we got the bike, it took a week or so to get the bike going back again and put better tires on it and was a little bit more aware of what I was doing with riding off the street with traction and everything else. And then there was another time it was raining. I left a stop sign pretty aggressively, if you will, off. And the rear tire spun, and rather than pulling the clutch back in, letting it, get back straight, I just decided to try and ride it out and wash the bike out in the middle of the intersection.
Maybe my mother was right.
Yeah.
These stories.
But as an adult, yeah. I've been ran off the road twice. So once.
Now, what happened there? Yeah.
Yeah. So once was I was leaving a friend's funeral. Kind of not like in La La Land, but I wasn't like 100% focused on driving. And a lady failed to stop at a stop sign. And I was going down a country road and she was going right. So it would have been within the direction that I was going with her. And when she had pulled out, I went left. And I think there was a little bit of a panic from her. And she kind of just kept going into the left lane a little bit. And I just kind of followed it down into the ditch and ended up high siding the bike and flopped.
I did a lot of road trips with my wife going across all America. Every year we go across a lot of road trips. I find it amazing how I get home safely because there are a lot of nuts on the road.
Oh, yeah.
Who don't pay attention to what they're doing. Of course, I try not to travel late at night, too. I've done a few times I had to travel all night long but I try not to do it because nothing good happens after midnight. We're talking about motorcycle safety, part of the Racine County Traffic Safety Commission poster this month. Mount Pleasant Police Officer Zachary Giovannoni is here, and want to thank Aspen for coming in for a cameo guest appearance, Aspen Giovannoni. We want to thank Tom Nitter, who put this together today from the Racine County Traffic Safety Commission. If you want to check out the motorcycle safety poster, go to RacineCounty.com/staying safe. RacineCounty.com/staying safe. And it's all on there. Have a good summer. Drive carefully and share the road.
Shiny side up.
Hey, thanks for being here today.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. The sun's rising.